This morning's scripture reading is from John 15, verses 1 through 11. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may be more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch that branch and withers. And the branches that are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. As my Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you this morning with our hearts open to what it is you have for us, what you want to teach us, what you want to command us with and instruct us with. May we be a body open for pruning and molding so that we can be who you have called us to be. Pray over this message that the words are true to what you want us to hear, Jesus. In your name, amen.
Good morning. It is great to see you guys here this morning. I was talking with someone this earlier before service, and they said, how are you doing today? And I said, how can I be doing bad when I get a chance to be in the house of the Lord? Right? Amen. Sundays are always good days. We get to be together, we get to worship God, and we get to learn of him. And so I hope you feel the same way. I'm glad that you guys are here, and we are continuing our series on the Word, a study in the Gospel of John. And as we've been talking throughout the entire series, the beauty of the book of John is that he gives us a presentation of Jesus Christ. That the entire purpose of the book that he says is that we might know him, that we might know who he is, know his nature, know his promises, and know how those promises, how his nature, how his work interacts with us. This morning's passage that we read out of the 15th chapter of the Gospel of John, particularly I think is important because what it does is it gives us a foundation, it gives us a teaching on what it is to live in Christ. It teaches us how we as believers in Christ can bear fruit, how our lives as Christians can have purpose and meaning and actual value. See, this is where John teaches us about who Jesus Christ is, and how his nature interacts with us, intercepts our lives, our living. I am the true vine. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. Jesus makes clear in his declaration here, in this illustration, in this metaphor, that the source of our sustenance is this abiding union in Christ. That for us as believers, for us as Christians, we are not going to be able to do anything. We're not going to be able to accomplish anything. We're not going to be able to be what we are called to be unless we are abiding in Christ, unless we have this union with Christ. Unless we are completely and totally connected with Jesus Christ. Abide in me, and you'll bear fruit. Because you can't do anything. You can do nothing without me. So key and central to the message that Jesus Christ has for us is to abide in him. But before we examine the nature of abiding, I want you to see where Jesus Christ says this leads. What is the point? Why is it that we should abide in him? Why is it should we have this connections relationship with him? Why is he teaching us this abiding relationship with Jesus Christ? He said this, "These things I have spoken to you. These things I have spoken to you that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full." What is he saying? He's saying, I'm talking to you about this abiding relationship. I'm talking about what it is to be in me and what it brings forth in your life. And he's saying, I'm telling you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. There are some really important realities to take note of that are being revealed in Christ's expression here and in the conclusion of his teaching to us. The first is, he's showing us this concern that he has for our joy. You know what Jesus is saying to you? He's saying, I want you to live in joy. I want your joy to be complete. And specifically that idea where it says complete, the Greek word that's being used there speaks completely, speaks about a totality, talks about a perfection, a completion. I'm telling you this stuff because I want my joy to be in you and I want your joy to be complete, to be full, that you are living in overflowing joy. Just that. Like, I want you guys to think about that. Jesus Christ cares whether or not you are living in joy. This is something that is really interesting because it reveals, as we talked about the last time, as we talked about chapter 14, it reveals again the nature and humanity, the heart of Jesus Christ. As we talked about in chapter 14, Jesus Christ is talking to the disciples about his peace. And this whole thing, this whole conversation is taking place under the shadow of the cross, right? We are now at the point where Jesus Christ is on his march to the cross. He knows the cross is coming. He knows the pain, the torture, all that he is about to go through is coming. And the conversation he's having with the disciples at this point is, listen, I'm concerned about your peace. I want you to know you need to have peace. You need to live in peace. This shows me how Christ's heart is for us. As he's facing the hardest nights, the hardest moments, the hardest hours of his life, he's looking at his disciples. And understand, when we talk about his disciples, we're talking about us here. As he's facing, he says, I want you to live in peace. And now here in chapter 15, as he's facing the cross, he says, I want you to be in joy. This is an important message I think a lot of us as Christians need to hear. Because Jesus Christ wants us to live in peace, and he wants us to live in joy. I think it's important to remind you of the way in which he phrased it back in chapter 14 about the peace. He said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give it to you. Let your hearts not be troubled, neither let them be afraid. And then here in 15 he says, I tell you this so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete. He wants us in both chapter 14 and chapter 15 to discover a peace and a joy that is outside of our circumstances, that is transcendent from our circumstances, where he says, listen, it's not about what's taking place, because what I want to give to you is I want to give to you my joy, I want to give to you my peace. He wants us to live in peace, and he wants us to live in joy, and many of us as Christians need to hear that idea. He wants you living joyously. I say that because in the history of my Christian experience, there are so many Christians who live as what I always call it is Christian Eeyorism. Right? Hey, brother, how you doing today? Well, we're getting by. By the grace of God, I've made it to Wednesday. Right? So many of us see our faith, see our life, see our walk in Christ as drudgery, as a task to be done. We are set to this, and we try and work through it, and all of the circumstances of our lives are things that we are enduring, things we are making it through. Jesus Christ says here, I want you to have my joy, and I want your joy to be full. I want it to be overflowing. I want it to be complete. He desires that we have joy outside our circumstances. A joy that leads us similarly to the peace that we discovered in chapter 14. He's saying, I want my people to live in peace in spite of circumstances. I want people to live in joy in spite of their circumstances. And this gets us to this idea that is very similar to the peace concept that we're spoken of in chapter 13. The joy that he speaks of in 14 and 15 gives us a second reality revealed in his expression here. As I said earlier, what he says in 14, what he says in 15 are both this idea. He says, my peace I leave with you in 14. And in 15 he says, I say this so that my joy may be in you. He reveals that the joy is found not in the things that we of this world. It is not a joy that is having to be sought for, a joy that is worked up, a joy that is created. But it is a joy in him, from him. Do you understand how that's similar to the idea of the peace? It's something that is beyond the circumstances of this life. It is a joy that comes from him. It is his joy that completes our joy. This is important because it is expressed, it is discovered, it is experienced in the same way that the peace Christ spoke about in chapter 14 is experienced. Remember those words again. My peace I give to you, not as the world gives, do I give to you. If you remember our conversation around that, we talked about how the peace of God is rooted in something that transcends the circumstances of this world. He's saying, because I am the source, because I have overcome the world, what I provide transcends what this world offers and what this world takes from us. It is his peace he gives. It is his joy he gives. We, as followers of Jesus Christ, have access to the transcendent joy of Jesus Christ. And in this passage that we read, he shows us how. How do you have access to this joy that transcends the circumstances of this life? I want you to remind you that what we've been talking about to this point is the end of his teaching, the why of his teaching. I am telling you this so that my joy may be in you and so your joy may be full. So then before this, he tells us what brings his joy, this complete joy, this fulfilling joy. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. The conclusion, as we said, is that he wants you to live in joy. He wants you to have his joy. He wants you to be full and complete, a perfected joy in your life. But it starts with abide. How do I get that joy? You abide. The terminology Jesus Christ uses here is this idea of to remain, to tarry, to be continually in his presence. He calls us to this abiding relationship with him. We need to, he's saying, abide in Christ. The example that Jesus Christ gives here is the way in which he himself abides in the Father. He says, just as I abide in the Father, you abide in me. Jesus Christ is revealing here the nature of his relationship with the Father as the nature of our relationship with him. He's saying, in the same way in which we are one, in the same way in which he leads me, in which he guides me, all throughout the book of John, we've read, he said, I only go where the Father sends me. I only say what the Father tells me to say. I only do what the Father tells me to do. I abide in him. And you see it over and over and over again all throughout his walk on this earth. He would withdraw from the crowd and be in the presence of the Father. He would withdraw from the disciples and be in the presence of the Father. He sets up as his example to us his abiding in the Father. And he says, you must abide in me. In the same way I abide in the Father's love, you abide in my love. In the same way in which I abide in the Father, you abide in me. The greater the distance, the weaker the life. The weaker the connection, the poorer our faith. You have to understand that he is calling us to an intentional act of relationship. Be in his word. Be in prayer. Make it a point of saying, I want to abide with the Father. I want to hear his voice. I want to be around him. I need to be in his presence. So many of us as Christians, we've kind of taken our Christianity, we become Christians, we are Christians, and there is no abiding in his presence. There is no time in his presence. There is no time in his word. There is no time in prayer. There is no time in fellowship. There is no abiding in the Spirit. And then we wonder why we don't feel him, why we can't hear him, why we don't have peace, why we don't have joy. The call here is the starting place to abide. And I think you need to hear this again. Whoever abides in me and I in him, it is he that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Do you know what nothing means? It means nothing. Nada. Zilch. Apart from me, apart from abiding in me, you can't do anything. This is a declarative, this is a defining, this is a very distinct declaration from God. Jesus is saying, apart from abiding in me, you can do nothing. If you are struggling in your walk, if you can't find peace in Christ, if you can't find joy in the moment, I want you to understand the first starting point is to look at your life and say, do I abide in Christ? Am I cultivating intentionally a relationship with him? Am I finding the moments to press into his Spirit, to press into his presence, time in his word, time in prayer, time in church, time in fellowship, time in him? Have I got this idea that whenever I'm making decisions, whenever I'm going forth in my life, I want to know who he is. I want to hear his voice. I want to abide in him. Your Christian faith doesn't just happen. Abide in him, and you bear much fruit. Without him, you can do nothing. We have to see the deep importance of abiding in him. And we have to see the two specific expressions of abiding that Christ identifies that we have to embrace if we're going to find ourselves, if we're going to land in that place of a joy that comes from him, a joy that is fulfilling, a joy that is complete. The first expression of abiding in Christ is revealed in verse 7. And it speaks a lot of what I've already kind of talked about, I've already touched about as our process of abiding. But he says this, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified and you bear fruit and so prove to be my disciples. What is the first act of abiding? What is the first point of abiding? He says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you. The first step of abiding, the first process of abiding that helps produce joy in our lives is us abiding in his words. It's tied to his teaching. It's tied to the truth of his word and his calling. We've been talking about this throughout the entire series. The beauty of John's book, as John is saying to us, this is who Jesus Christ is. This is what he said. This is what he taught. These were the promises he gave to you. And the instruction here from John, and now revealed by Jesus Christ, is listen, what you need to do to find joy in me is to abide in the truth of my words and to what I'm saying to you. You can't separate yourself from what I'm trying to teach you. You can't separate yourself from the pathway I'm trying to lead you to. Abide in Jesus and have his words abide in you. It is knowing, embracing, living in accordance with the values and the teachings and the life and the promises of Jesus Christ. This is a secondary area where Christians so often find themselves, they're weak in their faith, they can't find joy, they can't find peace, they sit there as Christians and they go, I don't get it, it's not working. And I take 7 minutes to sit with them and walk through their life and the decisions they've made and the choices they're making and what they want to continue to do. And I go, does any of this line up with what Jesus' word teaches you? Oh, no? Well, okay. Then why is there expectation there that somehow the joy he promises, the peace he promises, the hope he promises, the life he promises will bear fruit in you, that your life will be what he tells you it will be when you're choosing not to follow the words of Christ? I abide in you, you abide in my words. Your joy will be complete. So Jesus Christ, as he talks about abiding, he's not talking about just this generality of it. He makes a specific declaration first and foremost here. He said, if my words abide in you, then my joy will be in you and your joy will be complete. But there's a second point that I think is particularly important to this expression of Christ in our lives that brings forth the joy that is not tied to the circumstances of this life, but that abides in us, that overwhelms us. The second is what he says in verse 9. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. So we've already had this idea where Jesus Christ has said, listen, the part of the abiding I'm asking you to, when I talk about abiding, it's not just this general idea. There is a specific abiding to which you have got to subscribe yourself, that you have to engage yourself. Abide in my words. But the second one he says here is abide in my love. This is to me an abundantly important truth that many in the church wrestle to embrace. Many believers love Jesus, live in gratitude to him, live in obedience to him. They understand and embrace the theology of Christianity. But they never truly live abiding in his love. He's talking about his love for you. He's saying, I deeply love you. And all the implications of what love is, he has for you. There are so many Christians who spend their life walking in Christ, believing Christianity. I am a Christian. They have prayer life. They read the Bible. They engage in church. But they seem to have trouble embracing the depth of love that Jesus Christ has for them. Many of you guys have heard, and I've told this my mom's story. My mom got saved when I was 7 years of age, and she gave her heart completely and totally to Jesus Christ. She was a woman of faith that led us as her family well in Jesus Christ. She prayed for us. She advised us. She walked in a faith and a belief of Jesus Christ that had incredible depth. My mom battled cancer on 3 separate occasions. She overcame it the first time. She overcame it the second time. And finally, when she was in her 70s, she ultimately succumbed to cancer. In the process of the last few years of her life, my mom was diagnosed with cancer. She was told that she'd be given 6 months to live, but she lived for 6 years. And during that 6-year period, Jesus Christ began to do a transformation in her. At no point in my mom's life, as I said, my mom gave her heart to the Lord when I was 7. I grew up watching her faith in Christ. I grew up watching her worship Jesus. I grew up watching her read her word. And I saw a faith in her. But never in her life did I ever see a greater peace in her, a greater totality of understanding and joy in her than I did in the last 4 to 5 years of my mom's life as she was battling cancer. And this is what she attributes it to and what I attribute it to and what I believe with everything that's in me. About a year and a half into her cancer battle, she was really struggling. She was struggling to find joy. She was struggling to find peace in her life. She was on task for sure. She was walking through that, saying, this is what God has called me to. This is what God has brought in my life, and I'm going to do everything I can to bring glory and honor to Christ. The same way she did her entire life. But there wasn't the depth of joy. There wasn't the depth of peace there. And as she went to prayer, and she's told this story multiple times, she said to me, she said, Tommy, when I was praying and I was seeking God and I was struggling and I was having struggle with peace and joy in the midst of this, I heard the voice of the Father say to me, let me love you. Let me love you. And in that moment, something broke inside of her, and she realized that all of her walk, she had never really embraced and allowed Jesus Christ to love her. And she began walking down that journey of discovering what that really meant, knowing that he deeply cared for her, that this wasn't just something that was thrown at her, that this wasn't just something that she was lucky to get, that her walk in Christ wasn't just something that was an act of grace and mercy towards a broken sinner, but it was an act of deep and abiding love for her. And in doing that, she began to discover a depth of joy and peace that she'd never had before. If you knew my mom the last 3 years of her life, her mantra, the things that she would say to people over and over again was, let Jesus love you. If you go to our prayer room in the other room, there's a plaque right there in honor of my mom, and it says, let Jesus love you. There is a joy that comes when you embrace and receive the love of Christ. Too often we distance ourselves from that love. Sometimes we think we don't deserve it, that his redemption is enough, that I'm such an awful sinner, I'm such an awful broken person, I'm so grateful for what he's given me. That what more could I expect? What more could I live and what more could I receive? Sometimes we struggle to feel loved at all because we can't accept that we are worthy. And as a result, Christianity becomes more of a task, a noble task for sure, an honorable, worthy task, but a task nonetheless. And as a result, we are robbed of the joy of knowing the love of Christ for us. Abide in my love, Christ says. When we distance ourselves from his love, we miss out on the joy that flows from that reality. It doesn't matter where you're at right now in your life. It doesn't matter. Jesus Christ, as his child, loves you. Do not let the accusations of Satan separate you from his love for you. Don't allow shame that you may be feeling or guilt that you may be feeling convince you that he doesn't deeply love you. His heart is for you. It is broken for you, and he wants you. But there's this important addendum to this idea that creates a circular self-feeding reality. It's almost this closed circuit that sustains the depth of abiding that then produces abundant joy. Look at how Christ reveals the pathway of his abiding love. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Now, it is really important to see and understand the structure of Christ's instruction here. It's really important to see how it unfolds, the way in which it works. Because too often for us, we can jump into this and we can see this as a commandment-based relationship. We can see this as, if I follow, if I do, then I have a relationship. But there is this important structure that is in this. As the Father loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. What he does here is he creates the establishment of his love for us and the call of abiding in that love before his call to keep his commandments. This is an important distinction. The relationship begins, the relationship starts. The love that we abide in is initiated by Jesus Christ towards us before we do anything else. He first loves us. His love comes first. And this is an important distinction, particularly when we start getting into the idea of following his commandments. And this is a distinction that is found all throughout Scripture. Paul writes of the nature of God's love in Romans chapter 5, verse 8, when he says, "But God shows his love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." What's the initiation of the love? He doesn't sit and wait and say, if you do my commandments, if you do what I tell you to do, if you're good enough, then I love you. He says, while we were still sinners. In fact, Paul puts in this regard, while we were still enemies of God, he expressed his love for us in giving us his son. The love that he has for you is unearned and is the initiator of this cycle. And our author of the Gospel of John expresses in his book 1 John chapter 4 this. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Do you see the cycle? Do you see the structure of this? Not that we loved him, not that we did the right things, not that we obeyed him, not that we followed him, but he loved us first. And it is that first love, it is that initiated love that he calls us to abide in. The starting point of this whole thing was he established a love relationship with us before we did anything to earn it or deserve it. He loved us. Abide in his love. And then Jesus reveals the source of sustenance of the abiding in his love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. He loves us before we keep his commandments. But then when we respond to his love by keeping his commandments, we will find that place of abiding in his love. One of the reasons why we lose that sense of that first love, that understanding, that initiation of that first love, is because we don't continue in his words. We don't continue in his leading. We don't continue in following after him the way he calls us to. He loves us before we keep his commandments. But then when we respond to his love by keeping his commandments, we will find a place of abiding in his love. I loved you. Abide in my love. Keep my commandments. And you will continue to abide in my love. And what you need to understand when we talk about this, when we talk about keeping these commandments, it is a very simple idea. It is not about a list of rules. It is not about a list of do's and don'ts. It is about following Jesus Christ. It is about understanding his life, his examples, his word, his teaching, and living out the gospel of Jesus Christ in our life every day. It is us understanding who he is and us emulating that and living that forth. And I think Jesus describes it. He makes it clear. He simplifies it in the very next verse. He says, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. These things I command you, so that you will love one another." When we talk about this and he says, I want you to abide in my love, and if you abide in my commandments, if you follow my commandments, you will abide in his love. He then goes in and says, this is my commandment, that you love one another. But he doesn't just leave it right there. He doesn't leave it at that point, because what he's talking about here is he's talking about a love that emulates, that is like the love that he's about to undertake. He goes in and he says, I want you to love one another. Because no greater love does anyone have that he would lay down his life. He's talking about his pathway. The commandment he's calling you to is his pathway. He's saying no greater love than you could have. I'm calling you to love one another, and the love I'm talking about is the same kind of love I'm going to express as I go to the cross and lay down my life for your redemption. And he says, listen, you didn't choose me. I chose you. I loved you before you loved me. I brought you in. And then he goes in and he says, I have this for you. I have a calling for you. And that is that you follow me, that you emulate me. And as you do that, you will abide in my love. And your joy will be complete. The calling of Jesus Christ in this entire passage that leads to the joy that we can live in is knowing the depth of his love for us and then following the pathway he's laid out for us. His command is to follow him. Jesus says to bear fruit, to live a sustained life, abide in my words and abide in my love. Know what I am saying. Know the love I have for you. Then live your life in accordance with my words, as an expression of my love, and then your joy will be complete. If you've been a part of Mercy Hill Church for any time, you've heard me say in the past, the life of the believer is to live as Christ lived. To love as Christ loved, to forgive as Christ forgave, sacrifice as Christ sacrificed, be holy as Christ is holy, be in the Father as Christ was in the Father. And all of that flows from the knowledge of his love for you. And it will be the source of joy to you. Joy is found in the love of Christ and the path of Christ, because both transcend the circumstances of this world. His love for you is not dependent on the things of this world, and his path for you is not set on the values of this world. We are not trying to receive the glory of this world, the acceptance of this world, the riches of this world. For we have found that all in the love of Christ. We have found acceptance in his love. We have found riches in his love. We have found hope in his love. And therefore, we follow him in his love. If you are struggling to find peace this morning, you must first know his love this morning. He loves you. You are his child. Not because you've been perfect, not because you've earned it, not because you've done anything to deserve it, but because he's chosen you. He's poured out his love for you. He's drawn you to himself. He demonstrated that love by going to the cross for you and redeeming you. And that love has never wavered. Whatever has gone on, whatever you're bringing to this moment, it's never wavered. Jesus Christ went to the cross, driven by his love for you. He took the stripes, he took the nails. It was all because of his love. Never changed. You sit here today, right now, under the banner of his love for you. And that love calls you to something. It calls you to him. To walk in him, to live in him. And as you do, as you abide, you will grow in him and you will find a joy and a peace that you'll never find in this world. I tell you this because I know that many of us are in this place and the circumstances of life have robbed us of our joy. And Jesus Christ stands before you today as he did before his disciples 2,000 years ago and says, I want your joy to be complete. Abide in my love. Follow my commands, and you will know a joy that this world cannot give you.